And welcome, guys, to the Mid-Major Madness podcast. Here I'm with Austin Montgomery, Nick Lorison, and Ian Sachs. It's finally time, guys. This is March, baby. It's a big time for us. So the NCAA tournament is upon us.
The best time of the year. Who's going to be the Cinderella this year? Who's going to be the Oral Roberts? Who's going to be the St. Peter's? Who's going to be the George Mason? This is where we really make our get our eyes, get our money.
That's right. It's when mid-majors become legends, and the best time of the year for a reason. We have all the eyeballs. You had conference tournaments last week, the last 2 weeks, and now the best weekend of the sports calendar. And I will fight anyone who says differently. The first weekend, with games all day, every day. It's incredible. It makes you have to find where True TV is on your TV every year, because I never remember, and then I tune into it starting with the first four. So the fact that I'm on True TV tonight it's a good night.
To some impractical jokers after the fact too, at like 3 a.m. That's the only other thing that's on that station.
Impractical jokers in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Those are bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, really cool week, guys. Conference tournament week. We didn't do a podcast for that, but it was also a very exciting week. For me, it was in Vegas covering all three games, the Mountain West, the WAC, and the Big West tournaments. Didn't get any sleep at all. I'm running on like 6 hours of sleep. Lost all my money in Vegas, but it's so cool. It's March though, so I'm still smiling, right?
Yeah.
My Loaves made it as the 5 seed.
6 hours, wow, that's impressive. That's a lot of sleep for a March night.
I know. Then you wake up, you go to sleep at 1 a.m., you wake up at 8 a.m. to go to the sports book to get your bets in, because I'm a degenerate. Take money out of the ATM, you know, but
mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the Lopes came through for me in the last game, though, beating Southern Utah in the WAC championship. Saw UCSB beat Cal State Fullerton to win the Big West, and San Diego State dominated the Mountain West. And the best thing I saw, GCU, despite losing their best player, Javon Blackshear, in the beginning of the year, they were able to win, I think, 6 straight to the end of the year. They shot ridiculous, like 60% from 3. I don't think I've seen that program shoot over 35% from 3 in my entire life. So that was a huge chain of events, but it was a good weekend, and then we get even a better weekend with March Madness coming up.
Yeah, that WAC tournament was crazy. How was that, Austin? I mean, every single game seemed like there were big comebacks, or there were big shots, or there was just something crazy going on. I felt bad for my boy Kyle McDonald. You know, he's a Utah Valley fan, and they blew that like 20-point lead with like 7 minutes left to go.
It was really funny because I think Kyle was the only media member that actually stayed for that. He was saying, like, it was 20, I think it was, it went from 15, and then they were trading buckets a little bit, and then Utah Valley went on, like, a 10-0 run from, like, 10 to the under 12-minute timeout to the under 8 timeout to make it 20 points, and then, like, everyone left, and then Southern Utah didn't miss a shot from the final 6 minutes, and nightmares for coaches that I'm a big fan of fouling when you're up 3 with 5 seconds to go. But the worst thing that happened, Tevion Jones hit a fadeaway step back 3 and got fouled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 4-point play tied up. Shout out Todd Simon, by the way. Got a new head coaching job today. He's going to be at Bowling Green. So he's going to be back in the Midwest. I think that win might have done it for him.
It might have. I think he's also been on the West Coast for so long. Just being at Finley Prep in Nevada. He was the interim coach for UNLV after Marvin Menzies got fired. And there was a lot of, for the WAC championship game, he was very well liked in the Vegas media, because I've been covering the WAC for like the last 6 years. The Vegas media doesn't give a shit. Like, no one has ever like been in the press row. And there was 5 or 6 guys from a lot of different local news stations, like a guy from the Vegas review there, and like I was just kind of like wondering like why were they there for Todd Simon, in the championship.
He's a great dude.
So he's really well liked guy. Wish him the best. Southern Utah lost. That was probably their best chance to make the tournament. They lose their top six contributors next year. But it was still a heck of a run from them. Heck of a good season for the WAC and just in general.
It was a blast. Yeah,
I feel like the WAC was crazy this year. It seemed like there was no real team distancing itself from the pack or looking like a great team. And then look at GCU, as you mentioned, losing Blackshear and still coming away with the title. Their second trip to the dance. I'm excited to see what Bryce Drew can do and well, both Drew brothers, but for mid-major purposes, Bryce Drew.
The Drews are
one of the greatest shots in the NCAA tournament. Sure. Yep.
They're men of March. They are men of March. But we'll talk about March. We'll get into the NCAA bracket here. Do you guys want to mention your guys' best and worst from championship weekend before we start?
Yeah, sure. Probably the best thing I saw this weekend. Shout out to Howard. First time since 1991 that program's made the NCAA tournament. They're going to play Kansas. So, like, I don't know how highly I think of their hopes. But, you know, Kenny Blakeney went in there a couple years ago after Kevin Nickelberry. And they were about a 500 program. He, right away, really bad season, like 3 or 4 wins. Year after that was the year where like COVID was cutting down games. So they played it until about mid-December and they ended their season. That was when they had Maker. And they Maker only played like a game. Next year they started building some steam. Then this year they kind of just like steamrolled a lot of teams in the MAC and they played a tight game. They ended up coming back, beating Norfolk State. So first time since 1991, shout out to Howard Bison. And I feel bad for a lot of the one seeds that lost this week. It, like in the WAC, Sam Houston, great season. Add Utah Valley. That was a tough one for them. There was a whole bunch of, like, Hofstra. That was earlier in the week. Felt bad for them. I'm really happy that Charleston ended up winning that tournament. That would have sucked if they were left out. The bubble was terrible. So if they weren't in the NCAA tournament, that would have just been horrendous. But, you know, there's a lot of one seeds. They got to feel bad for it. Toledo. They haven't made the NCAA tournament since 1980, and they had a legit chance, and they lost to Kent State in the championship. Shout out Rob Senderoff. He had a really good year, too. I think they might beat Indiana when we talk about that later. I might do my big upset pick.
Definitely a lot of tough losses for some teams. And on the flip side, that's the best thing that I saw of the teams that suffered those tough losses last year and then came back and punched their tickets this year. Furman comes to mind of losing on that crazy overtime buzzer beater heave 3-pointer last year. Chattanooga punching their ticket there, and Furman comes back and gets to the big dance this year, first time since 1980. Another one that comes to mind, it wasn't a championship, or this one was a championship game loss, with Princeton getting back to the big dance this year, losing in the title game last year. Another team that suffered a tough loss last year, but punched their ticket this year, Iona. They were in the quarterfinals last year. They were far and away the best team in the MAC with 2 A's, and ended up getting upset in the quarterfinals last year on a crazy turnover at the end of the game. Lost to Ryder, came back this year, won the regular season again, and now they're dancing once again, sixth time in 8 years that they're in the NCAA tournament. And then the sad part for me, the worst part is the injuries that we saw. Most notably, first one that comes to mind is Marcus Sasser. We don't know what his availability is for the NCAA tournament. Houston is a team that a lot of people have penciled in to at least get to the Final Four, maybe even win it all. I think they have what it takes to win it all. I've been looking at them all year as one of the title favorites. So you really hate to see that for teams all across the country, that once you get to the biggest stage, not being 100%, not being fully healthy, you want to see the best teams, the best players playing on the biggest stage.
So So
the one thing I do like about Houston is it's Jim Nance's last year calling the Final Four. He's a Houston grad. He played golf at Houston. So there's that storyline going on there. I'm a sucker for storylines. So I have Houston winning my bracket just because of that.
And don't forget the Final Four is in Houston this year.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I am right there with you with the Cougars cutting down the Nets on April 3rd.
I didn't actually know that. So I twisted my arm there, Nick. That's something I have to.
The crazy thing is everyone's on Houston. So, like, that's a part of me that doesn't like it because everyone loves Houston. Everyone has, like, I feel like there's a lot of people. I have Duke in the Final Four, too. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, Duke won the ACC tournament. Let's have Duke in the Final Four, too. I hate Duke, and I never have Duke in the Final Four, but now I have both them, and then everyone has the same championship pick. I don't know if you should hop in.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that because before the bracket got announced, I was thinking, you know what, Duke is flying under the radar this year. They're a good team, but they're not great. I could seriously see them being one of those lower seeds, like a 4 or 5 that ends up cutting through and getting to the Final Four. And then, you know, I saw them as a 5 seed. I'm like, all right, you know, I'm thinking that way. And then I started hearing all Sunday night, all Monday, Duke, look out for Duke in the Final Four. I'm like, oh, well, maybe not. Maybe I won't hop on that bandwagon. Same thing with Houston. I've been on them all year long. I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to have them win it all. And now everyone else is joining. So I'm like, maybe I should start thinking it. But then I start getting in my head and overthinking it. And I mean, that's the beauty of March Madness, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the best way to do a test. I know people are like, check your answers or whatever. But if you just go with the original answer, you're going to be better off. So just go with what you have said in mind. Don't listen to what anyone else says. Do what you're going to do. Be different.
Well, that's the same thing. I'm also big on Gonzaga because they don't have that target on their back that they've had the last couple years. And
I have them in the league.
Now everyone is like, oh, Gonzaga in the Final Four, of course. I'm like, no, that was my idea. I'm the only one that thought of that.
Exactly. I think they're my Final Four too. Like everyone right. wants the same narratives. Come on.
Yeah.
Regions go, which is the most stacked region as in terms of mid-majors for you guys?
I'd probably go that first one, the top left. You know, they got Charleston in it, Furman. Furman has a good chance to beat Virginia. Virginia can't play that offense again. San Diego State, elite defensive team, the highest true mid-major out there. UCSB is a really good team. They got 4 seniors, and they got A.J. Mitchell there as a sophomore, can do some things. Utah State has been playing really good basketball. Outside of this last 10 minutes, the Mountain West Championship, they were on like a 6-game winning streak or whatever. And I think Princeton's a really underseeded 15 seed. So go to that top left. I think that's the South region.
That was the first one that caught my eye too. But just to be different, I'll go with the West. I'll go with the bottom right. You have St. Mary's VCU as the 5-12 matchup there. You have a dangerous Iona team that could make some noise. They're only playing 2 hours away from home in Albany, New York. You have Gonzaga and GCU squaring off. Of course, that raises the question about Gonzaga, but still. And then Boise State's the 10 there. UNC Asheville, I think they can hang with UCLA in the 2-15. Yep. So I think that's pretty sneaky. I think when you have 2 mid-majors squaring off in the first round, the way St. Mary's and VCU are matched up, or in the South, the way that San Diego State and Charleston are matched up, that automatically gets put in the conversation of being a good region for mid-majors, because while it sucks that one of them is going to be going home on the first day, it also means that one of them is guaranteed to be in the second round and have a chance to get to the Sweet 16.
That's a good point. I think the Midwest is really interesting too. You got Drake, who's only a 2-point underdog right now against Miami. A lot of people are picking them as a favorite. That's that to the most prominent 12-5 upset right now. Then you got Kent State against Indiana, which I agree with Nick. Sincere Carey is one. Is probably, as far as not just mid-major guards, he's a top 5 overall best point guards in the tournament. So I think they're pretty dangerous. They play really good defense. Kennesaw State's pretty exciting too against Xavier, and I think Colgate's another underseeded 15 seed. Colgate has either been tied or has had a lead at one point in the second half in their last three tournament appearances. So I thought that was an interesting stat I kind of followed up with. And then Ian had Northern Kentucky's coach on the last mid-major pod, so got to root for him out. And then, of course, Houston, number one seed, we covered the American. I think they should easily make it out of this region. So when you have the best, quote-unquote, mid-major team, I think that has a lot to – has a lot to do with my pick here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I might have to dabble in a Colgate first half. Didn't really think of that. They're going to keep it close. They usually do keep it close. The thing about Texas is I thought that Texas was before the Big 12 tournament, I'm like, this is my pick to win the NCAA tournament. But I think they might have too much momentum heading into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. And with Texas, too, that's actually a really interesting matchup because it's going to be really great defense, like hard physical defense against really great offensive action on Colgate's side too. It's going to be athleticism versus a really big X and O's matchup with Rodney Terry and his coaching staff as well, where Colgate does a lot of stuff with off the ball screens to get guys open. Texas harasses people. So we'll see. Something's going to have to give there. And if Texas is over aggressive, I think a lot of things can happen where Colgate can create offense for themselves. So it'll be interesting. And we've seen Texas get cold shooting glass. Yeah, so we'll go region by region. We'll give our best upsets per each region. We'll start off with the South. Nick, you want to go first?
Yeah, so I don't really know if my I'm just going to lower seeded team in my bracket. I have Utah State. That's the only lower seeded team in that region that I have advancing. I don't really know if you'd call that an upset. They might even be favored in that game, but they're playing Missouri, a team full of mid-major transfers. But like we just talked about, Utah State's been playing really good basketball. If I want to take a true upset, give me Furman because they have the experience in Virginia. Their offense struggled in the ACC tournament. Their defense hasn't exactly been there all year, even though they showed up in the ACC championship. Give me the Paladins.
I am 100% having Utah State beat Missouri in that first round. I think that Furman can definitely hang with Virginia. The one concern that I have is that Virginia can clamp down on defense at any point. And so I don't know about Furman pulling it off. I think that they will hang close with Virginia for sure. But then I also like Charleston. I think that they're a team that knows how to win in a tournament fashion. They did it in the Charleston Classic early in the season. Then they did it again in the CAA tournament. So they know how to have success in a tournament style. And San Diego State, time to show up for the Mountain West. You're a five seed. You could very easily get to the Sweet 16 and kind of erase the bad memories for the Mountain West from a season ago.
My upset pick, this is my favorite upset on the board, favorite pick on the entire board. Give me the Gauchos. I've written a couple stories on UCSB. They have a true NBA guy who won't be in the NBA this year, but a guy who I've seen NBA scouts drool over in Ajay Mitchell, a guard from Belgium. He has size, 6'5". He can get to the hole, can finish with his left and his right. He can shoot threes. But what he does really well is he creates open shots for other guys. And Baylor, they've given up at least 70 points in their last eight games. They rank bottom 300 in two-point defense. Santa Barbara has, along with Mitchell, Josh Pierre-Louis, transferred from Temple, is a guy who can get to the hole as well. Santa Barbara, they're really good with the ball. They're top 25 in two-point efficiency, top 30 in overall field goal percentage. Baylor, they have guys. They have Keontae George, Adam Flagler, guys, LJ Cryer, but all those guys are really streaky in just the way they play. So in just a one-tournament game type scenario, Scott Drew, he's won a national title, but before that national title, he's been known to lose games early in the tournament. If former writer Austin Brown, which was way back in the mid-major madness days, always questioned, Scott Drew can coach all the way up until March, until the first round of the NCAA tournament, and then things tend to happen. But obviously, Scott Drew debunked that, but just knowing the way UCSB, they're a couple, 2 points shy from beating Creighton a couple years ago. I really like UC Santa Barbara here as a 10-point dog. Then my other upset is coming to more like next weekend. I have San Diego State in my Elite Eight. I think this Aztecs team is more talented than the Aztecs teams in the past. They have more offensive prowess. They go nine deep. Matt Bradley is a guy that is a prominent. He only averages 14 points per game, but in one-on-one situations, he's a guy that can get a bucket. The Aztecs haven't really had that before. So you got Darren Trammell, who hasn't come into his own yet. Averaged 20 game points a game at Seattle. That's had a tough game against Charleston, but if they get past that, I think they beat Virginia. And against an Alabama team who plays finesse type of basketball, if the Aztecs punch him in the mouth, I think there's a lot of upside there picking them to go to the Final Four.
They probably have the best chance of true mid-major programs to do so. So one of the best.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Them and St. Mary is probably both of them on the five line could punch their ticket. I know St. Mary's has struggled a little bit recently, and San Diego State's charging. So yeah, I think that the Aztecs probably are that true mid-major team that has the best chance to get there.
So let's break down the East. The East region, what stands out for you guys there?
My upset pick, Louisiana over Tennessee. Tennessee hasn't been the same team since that guy Segler went down. They were number one in the country. Lost back-to-back games on buzzer beaters. But Jordan Brown transferred over from Arizona a couple years ago. He was the sixth man of the year in the Pac-12. And he's averaging just around 20 points and like 9 rebounds a game. So if he can really own Tennessee down low, the Cajuns have a good chance to win a game in the NCAA tournament.
That's a great pick. Mine is FAU getting to the Sweet 16. I think that the Owls play a very tough Memphis team in the first round, and then they knock out Purdue in the second round. I think they are incredibly underseeded as a 9 seed, and that they're going to come out to try to prove that they should absolutely not be on the non-line. And I think that Purdue is the most vulnerable 1 seed right now. And I think it very much feels like a Kentucky 2014 against Wichita State in the second round of how is this a second round 1 versus 8 or 9 seed matchup. But that's the way the bracket falls, and the lower seeded team comes away with the victory and put the Owls in the Sweet 16.
You can clip it. I don't think they beat Memphis. I've not liked FAU this last month, so I don't think they beat Memphis.
Wow. Very different takes.
Yeah.
I would go to the fact and be in the middle. Whoever comes out of Memphis and FAU beats Purdue. I'm kind of coin flipping a game. I would lean Memphis just because Kendrick Davis is one of the best. They have one of the best point guards in the country in Kendrick Davis. They're full. This is not the typical Penny Hardaway team with a bunch of freshmen. These are all grown men. The average age on the team, I think, is almost 22 years old. DeAndre, Malcolm Dandridge is a guy, one of the best rim protectors in the country, too.
Yeah, you're making me reconsider that with FAU's not having size and thinking that they'll beat Zach Edey.
But you never know. I think Purdue's going to lose to either one. So whoever wins out of Memphis to FAU, I think they beat Purdue. The team I'm kind of interested in this region is Vermont against Marquette. I don't really pick 15 seeds to beat 2 seeds, but I think Marquette, after their run in the Big East tournament, has kind of made them overvalued a little bit. I've been wanting to bet this Marquette team to win the national championship next year, but they're so young. They start all sophomores or freshmen. Tyler Kolek's been playing out of his mind. And Marquette's defense is not the best. They really like to try to turn you over. But Vermont kind of takes care of the ball really well. Top 10 in offensive turnover percentage. Top 25 in effective field goal percentage. You have Robin Duncan, who's been playing basketball for what, since 1985, college basketball.
That whole family's been there forever. A whole bunch of Evansville kids in Vermont. It's had to be since like 2014. There's been a Duncan. Mm-hmm. First trio of brothers to ever play in an NCAA tournament came together.
So, has John Bennett won an NCAA tournament game? Or John Becker, sorry.
I don't believe so. I believe their last.
No, wasn't he? He was the coach back when they beat Syracuse.
No, he wasn't. No,
He wasn't. That's right. That's right.
He was the guy with the scarf. I can't think of what his name is.
That's right. Yeah, Becker's been there so long that I keep thinking that he was the coach, but no, that's right.
So, no. I feel like he's kind of due. I think that's a stupid way to analyze it, but. You can only coach so many NCAA tournament games until one breaks your way. And VCU only being like an 11, they're only like 11 point underdog, which is very low for a 15 seed. I think Vegas is also just getting more efficient with the lines as well. But I'm not saying they're going to win, but I really like Vermont to cover plus 11.5. That'll be one of my bets. And it's just a fishy game. Marquette's a really trendy pick to go to the Final Four, and then Vermont, they win the American East. Just something to watch out.
America. That's a big pet peeve of mine. I always try to correct people. It's America.
America?
America East.
America. America East?
Yeah, America. No N. No N.
So I don't disagree with you with Marquette not going far. I think Michigan State knocks them off in the second round. That's what I'm looking at. I know it's not mid-major sense, but I think this is a Michigan State team that can do some damage. We've seen Tom Izzo as a low seed before make a run, and I think that they match up pretty well with Marquette. And I think this is my region where I have kind of a lot of chaos happening and several definitely not chalk getting to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. What do you think about Oral Roberts, Nick? I know they've been really good all year. They get a pretty tough matchup against Duke. What do you think about them?
Yeah, I just think Duke's too hot right now. I love Oral Roberts. It's going to be so much fun to see Max A. Smith and Connor Vanover. I mean, it's going to be really tough for Duke to find a way. If Connor Vanover hangs out on the three-point line, how to stop him? He averages a 3.5 per game. He's 7'5". He can cause problems all over the court. So it's going to be interesting to see how he is against Power 5 talent again, because he was at Arkansas for a couple of years. But I just think this Duke team's so hot right now that they got a really tough draw. At least 5 seeds are pretty good this year.
Yeah, I before the bracket was announced, I was thinking to myself, okay, who are some upset teams that I'm looking at picking in the first round, and who are some teams that I think could go to the Final Four? And then Oral Roberts was one of my upset teams. Duke was one of my potential Final Four teams. And I looked at it, I'm like, well, this isn't good for me. I want to either Duke's going to lose in the first round, or I'm going to have them go to the Final Four. So I think that Or Oral Roberts can definitely make a run. That they have the longest winning streak in the country. They completely ran through the Summit League, and I think that they definitely can pull off the upset. But I completely agree with Nick that I think that this Duke team is kind of similar to Carolina last year, of a team that is a blue blood, didn't wow in the regular season, is a lower seed than they traditionally are, isn't drawing the headlines, and yet they really found their stride around the ACC tournament and now carrying that over into the NCAA. I think that Duke is just too good right now to end Oral Roberts' season.
I agree. Sadly.
Well, we'll see if Paul Mills can prove you guys and Max Aizmans can prove you guys wrong and go on another magical March run. Wouldn't that be something? But we move on to the Midwest. Houston's the number one seed here, and then we have Drake and Kent State, like I mentioned before. Two of the trendy upset picks. What sticks out? And then we have Kennesaw State playing Xavier in their first NCAA tournament appearance. Shout out to the Never Made the Tournament Club. So what's your guys' kind of first thoughts about when you look into this region?
Yeah, I have Drake in the Sweet 16. So I have Drake winning against Miami. Drake has a really good advantage if North Chattanooga doesn't play, because you saw it on Friday in the ACC tournament, the semifinals. They were just a completely shell themselves without Norchad. The good thing is Norchad doesn't have a boot on, so he might play for them, but I still like Drake. And I think Kent State beats Indiana. They'll find a way to shut down Trace Jackson Davis. Sincere Carey's a great guard. He didn't have exactly the season that he wanted after coming off a MAC player of the year, but he scored 30 points twice in the MAC tournament. So there's a reason to be optimistic there. And I think Drake's more experienced and they have the better star player. So I think they end up winning that and they end up making the Sweet 16.
Ian?
That both of those upsets definitely scare me or seem very realistic to happen. But since, Nick, you touched on both of those, I'm looking not necessarily for Colgate to pull off the upset of Texas, but I think that they're going to have a lot of people sweating in that first round game. We touched on it earlier. I think that they can definitely keep it close, and I think that that's going to be one where Texas is going to be very relieved to move on to the second round. I think that Colgate's going to be the team that could cause the most pain to a lot of people in this region, because as you mentioned, Drake and Kent State are both somewhat more trendy upset picks.
Yeah, I usually don't like to fall for the trends, but I do like Drake a lot. They're the oldest team in the tournament. Tucker DeVries he's a stud. He can shoot out. He can hit big shots in the mid-range. Automatic from three, and then you have a really solid point guard in Roman Penn. DJ Wilkins is a good combo guard. DJ Brody's just kind of a brawler inside. So Drake has, they're like the perfect like mid-major tournament team, you know? The guys that played together for 3 to 4 years, the best players, the coach's son. It's, if you're writing a March Madness movie, like, a lot of the stuff that Drake provides is the recipe for success here.
Well, so another thing to keep in mind with Drake is they have 27 wins on the season, one shy of the program record, what they did in 2008, which was a year that they made an NCAA tournament run. So a win over Miami would tie it. A trip to the Sweet 16 would set the program mark. So that's another little thing to be on the lookout for with the Bulldogs.
And the Kent State Indiana matchup is going to be great. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the best possibility for an upset in the first round. That was my big one.
Mm-hmm. Then we are going to the West region, which as far as just I think there's five teams in the KenPom top 15 in this one region. So we got Gonzaga, St. Mary's, VCU, Kansas. One, what are the odds of putting the two WCC teams in the same region of the NCAA tournament? Like, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I saw that. I was very surprised that they're in the same region.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah, that's crazy.
And we also have ASU and Nevada in the first four game, too. That's something to touch on. But what kind of sticks out for you guys?
I'd probably say that Boise State, Northwestern, that's about as much as a toss-up as possible in this tournament. I had a really tough time picking. I ended up picking Boise State just because, that Mountain West bias. But that's the only lower seed I have advancing. St. Mary's, I think they're going to struggle against UConn. Adama Sanogo is a great big man. They've been playing really good basketball. They won 9 out of 11 to end the regular season. So, I think St. Mary's strip's going to end short. I think that UCLA will end up beating Boise State. But I think UNC Asheville has one of the best chances of a 15 to make some noise, because Drew Pember, second in the country in foul drawn for 40 minutes. And then when he goes to the line, he does really good. So the Big South tournament quarterfinals, he was 22 for 24. That was a Big South tournament record when he drained those 22. And he can go out, he can hit the three ball. They have Tyjon Jones, who's a good guard to complement him. UCLA has some injury problems. If there was a 15 over 2, I would take the Bulldogs.
That's very tempting. I'm looking at VCU. I think that they are riding very high right now. And I think that St. Mary's, while I have been all in on them all season long, I think kind of came down to earth a little bit with the two losses to Gonzaga. So I think that the Rams can pull off that trendy 12-5 upset pick. The Atlantic 10 this year was down, I would say, by traditional standards for the conference, VCU being the only representative in. They won both the regular season and the tournament. But I think that they are a team that is playing its best basketball right now, and they raced through the tournament at Barclays. So I look to them to knock off the Gales.
I was really high on the St. Mary's team going into the tournament. I think their collection with Aiden Mahaney and their junior senior core was nightmare. The best. The matchup for VCU is an absolute nightmare. The only thing St. Mary's struggled with on offense was when they face pressure. If you look at their stuff on shot quality, they're top like 20 in field goal percentage, like field goal efficiency, shooting the three, offensive turnover percentage. But when you get to the press, their efficiency just drops way down. And we kind of saw that in the second half against BYU, and we saw those in the two games against Gonzaga where they just sent full court pressure, and it just forced St. Mary's into turnovers. It didn't let them to get into the flow of their offense. They couldn't get the ball down low to Saxon. So, and Aiden Mahaney's a young guard. VCU is very long and athletic too, so they have that advantage. And they've been shooting a lot better. Ace Baldwin was dealing with a wrist injury earlier in the year. People forget to realize that. He was playing with it. And since he's gotten better, we've kind of seen more of the Ace Baldwin than we saw last year. The guy that's able to hit up, pull up mid-range shots. He can be able to drive. His other teammates have been hitting threes. They shot over 40% from three in their five of their last six games. So they're on a hot shooting spree right now. So I look to VCU. I think the Gonzaga-Grand Canyon game is interesting because of the narrative, and that when GCU went to Division One, Brian Mueller, or they introduced Dan Marley as the head coach, rather, Marley said that he was going to make Grand Canyon to the next Gonzaga. And
It's they haven't come close. Hand up, they haven't come close. Lofty standards. Crazy ass thing to say, you know, when you become the first Division One, like you first year press conference and going into the Division One, becoming the next Gonzaga. Okay, I get it. But now GCU making their second tournament run. GCU, my whole thing against kind of like the school being an alum there, they talk the talk, but they don't really walk the walk. They talk about having the great home court advantage, but every year they win 2 to 3 home games to sub two KenPom 200 teams. They lost to UTGRV this year. This year they're able to make the tournament as a 5 seed despite losing their best player. And they want to be one of those top mid-major programs. You're going to have to beat one. You have to beat someone. They haven't beat a KenPom top 75 team in program history. Not saying GCU is going to beat Gonzaga, but I think just kind of like the storyline and GCU playing them, it is a good matchup for them in the sense Gonzaga has struggled to defend the 3 all year. We've seen it in the WCC against inferior opponents. Against the games against Pepperdine, the first game, the game on the in Spokane against LMU, the two of the games against San Francisco, they have allowed over 45% from 3-point range. Gonzaga scores 90 points, so it kind of they get away with that. But GCU, they shot 58% from 3 during the WAC tournament, shot 65% from 3 in the championship game. It's not just Rayshon Harrison, who's averaged 18 points a game. Freshman Kobe Knox has stepped up. Gabe McLaughlin, Noah Bauman. So they have a bunch of different guys who can shoot. I don't think they'll be able to stop Gonzaga, so I'm just taking the over. But I think that's going to be a really fun and exciting game. First to 90 wins. Gonzaga should win comfortably. They match up better. They're the better team. But Bryce Drew has done some stuff in March, so I think that's a game to kind of look up for as far as we'll see what the Lopes can do.
I don't think they have a chance, but that's your school, so
we'll see. Any for the first 4 game against ASU in Nevada, what do you guys think?
I don't know yet. I think that's really a toss-up, you know. Ian's an Arizona State alum.
Yeah, I'm definitely riding my Sun Devils. I think Nevada is trending in the wrong direction. They've lost their last 3 games. That included a loss against last-place Wyoming. ASU was playing kind of for its tournament life in the Pac-12 tournament, had a big win against USC that I think probably cemented them getting into the tournament, because then they lost to Arizona right after that in the semifinals. But the excitement that Bobby Hurley had when their name was called, the clip went viral of him jumping into his player's arms and then jumping into the pool right after. I think that this team all year long was playing for the NCAA tournament, and that they kind of felt like, okay, you know, we keep doing this, we keep doing that. I kept seeing so many different stats of, you know, 4th time in program history that they've won this much or that much, or that they have like one of the highest number of wins away from home this season. I think that this is a Sun Devil team that is very dangerous. We saw what they did at Arizona last month with that crazy buzzer beater, more than a half court heave. And I think that this is a case of a team that was kind of playing all year long just to get into the dance and had to sweat it out, have to play in the first 4, but they're exactly where they want to be, and Nevada kind of is going in the wrong direction. So from a mid-major standpoint, unfortunately, I don't see Nevada coming away with it. I see the Sun Devils reigning supreme and setting up a very interesting matchup with TCU.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked they made the tournament, Nevada. You know, they really did get cold there at the end.
Right. I thought that the loss to – that the loss to Wyoming coupled with the first round exit in the Mountain West tournament were kind of a combo nail in the coffin, and yet here they are.
Yeah, I was really shocked.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked too. That was the whole vibe in the Mountain West and like the coaches, like Nevada. You just kind of saw the deflating feeling in that press conference that Nevada was kind of done. You know, they're kind of prepared. Like they're hopeful or see to see if their name was called, but you kind of had the feeling that they were going to go to the NIT until they weren't. You have Jared Lucas, who's been on an NCAA tournament run, and Nevada was kind of picked, I think, in the preseason. I think we're talking about it. We didn't really expect Nevada to finish in the top half of the league.
We thought, I mean, personally, I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league. It was kind of like a Wyoming. What Wyoming did last year, they were picked towards the middle of the bottom of the league, and then they just showed up out of nowhere.
So it's kind of because they lose Grant Sherfield, they lose Desmond Cambridge, who will be playing against them now in the first four. So that's an interesting storyline. They get a guy from Jared Lucas who helped Oregon State on that run, but was kind of mediocre other than that at Oregon State. Will Baker and then Keenan Blackshear, who were just kind of role players on the Nevada team the year before, and they've just kind of blossomed into stars. And this is Alford's kind of made Nevada into a middling program. So this is a huge step for the Wolfpack, and we'll see if they are able to take advantage of it. I do like ASU in the game if I were to have to pick it, but really big opportunity for the Mountain West and Nevada to have a nice little showcase game here.
Totally agree.
So what are some individual players that you think mid-major fans need to watch for?
Max Asmus, like we mentioned earlier, you know, he's averaging 20 points per game. One of the best guards in the country. He did it a couple years ago, bringing them to the Sweet 16 against Ohio State. So him, Drew Pember, like I mentioned earlier, can really be different down low. Dalton Bolin might get the eyes of America because he's just a psycho, and he kind of lives by that he's a psycho. He's great on the defensive end. He's kind of the heart and soul of that Charleston team. So if Charleston ends up making a run, he's going to be the guy that everyone's eyes are on.
This was the first one that came to my mind as soon as Austin asked us the question. It rang right to Asmus. But just to be different, I'll stay on the 12 line, and I'll go with Ace Baldwin. We mentioned that now he's healthy, was battling that wrist injury earlier or throughout the season, and now he is absolutely showing out. I saw VCU play very early on in the season at Barclays, in the Legends Classic. They actually played ASU, and was impressed with him, and he has been playing even better recently than what he was doing early in the year. So I think that Ace Baldwin, if the Rams can make a little bit of a run, he'll be a name that's going to be remembered from this tournament.
I think a guy from like an NBA draft perspective, someone Nick mentioned before, if Louisiana is able to pull this upset, I think Jordan Brown pulls himself into the NBA draft. 6'10", former McDonald's All-American. If he leads Louisiana past Tennessee, he's going to have like a 25-12 game. I think he's someone that can compel himself to be an NBA draft pick. And he's can be just like a man amongst boys. And then I'm a Kendrick Davis stan. Averaged over 20 a game at Memphis this year. Was at SMU the year before. And the guy is just an electric factory. Plays great basketball. He can plays for his open players. Memphis would have been like a 14-15 win team if he didn't come there. Now they're an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. He carries that team. Super fun to watch. Single-handedly kept them in that game in the final day on their senior night against Houston. They lost on that buzzer beater. Kendrick Davis single-handedly kept them in that game against a
fully healthy Houston squad that was hitting 40% from three. So I really like Kendrick Davis. I think they'll lead. If Memphis beats FAU, I think they'll beat Purdue. So I think he's a guy that'll capture America's heart.
Great.
Then we'll give our final four picks, and then we'll get out of here. So doesn't necessarily have to be mid-majors, but who do you guys have in your final four?
So I have in the championship, I have Houston beating Arizona by two. And the other final four teams are Gonzaga and Duke.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I might as well just repeat everything Nick just said. I have the same final four, and I have Houston over Arizona in the title game. Maybe a little more, a little bigger point spread by five. But yeah, same exact final four as Nick.
Well, I'm going to go a little different. My final four on the left side of the bracket is pretty freaky. 2 5-seeds. San Diego State and Duke. I think the Aztecs shock Alabama and Arizona. And my on the other side, I'm going more chalk Houston, UCLA. I mean, they're going to be in last place or first place. It's going to be one or the other. And then I have UCLA beating Houston, and then Duke beating San Diego State and UCLA winning in the final. So,
wow, that's a bracket that I have not heard before. A final four combo that's a new one on me. I like it though.
I'm going for the be the winner in those 10,000 people polls or whatever. I'm going for. So it's either like a DraftKings GPP. They're your first or last. So I'm either finish first or last.
Nice. Sure.
But that was a good podcast, guys. Any final thoughts before we conclude?
No, I'm good. I'm just ready for Thursday. That's a packed slate. Thursday's much more packed than Friday.
My one parting words is enjoy the games.
Well, it's March Madness, baby. And we'll cue to CBS music. We'll get out of here. That's our bracket. Those are our upset picks. Everything you need to know about the mid-majors, we'll be back later in the tournament, and we'll see you guys later.